Good morning. It's great to hear all of the enjoyment and socialization and enjoying each other's company here this morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship on this second Sunday of Lent. May we continue to grow stronger spiritually, listen for Jesus' voice, resting in his care and sharing his love with others. Lord, listen to your children praying.
And Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your spirit in this world. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us
shall soon dissolve.
At this time, if the children would like to come forward, Diane Hall is going to share in a children's story.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. I want to show you what I got for Valentine's Day. Is that pretty? When I see a heart, I think of love. Do you think of love? Do you know who created love? You don't? Who? Yes, God did create love. That's wonderful. He also created this beautiful world for us when he created us. And he wants to show us that love whenever, and he actually wants to live inside our hearts because he loves us so much. And he wants to talk to us. He wants to see how we're doing. He wants to know if you're having a good day or a bad day. He wants to know if you're thankful for your mom and dad and maybe your little brother or sister. So he wants to know if somebody's not feeling well, if you're not feeling well, or somebody in your family. You know, he wants to pray us to pray for them. But God wants to talk to us, and he wants us to listen. And God is there for us all the time. He's never too busy to talk to us or listen to you. He wants to hear from you. So it's good when we read the Bible to talk to God and that we pray. So there are two of the ways we can talk to God. And actually, Jesus tells us, the picture's on our bulletin today. Jesus tells us that when we pray to God, we should say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So the important thing about that is he's saying our Father. So Jesus is our brother. And it's nice having Jesus to want a relationship with us, and his Father is our Father. So we have Jesus as our brother, and we have God as our Father who loves us and wants to care for us. So we remember when you're praying, it's a relationship God wants with you. And he wants to listen, and he wants to talk to you, but you have to listen when he talks. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for your love for us and that you would send your Son Jesus to help us to be close to you and then your Holy Spirit, Lord, to live within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to we often forfeit.
Please be seated. For scripture this morning, I will be reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. May God bless the reading of his word. At this time, I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Earl.
I have to say that it's a real joy and it was a surprise to get the invitation to come back and be with you again, knowing that you'd received your new pastor. But things happen. And so I was preparing a message. I started it 3 weeks ago on prayer, having no idea that it was going to come on this particular occasion and that I was going to be invited here. Of course, the first thing I want to point out is as I came through the back door back there, Judy went, whew. I think she was preparing her sermon. She wasn't sure whether I was going to show up or not, so I'm glad she's relieved. A couple of things I want to share with you this morning as I share this message. It's going to be a full one. I got a lot to say, so I'm going to go through this thing about like lightning. As I studied over the past couple of weeks, there's a tremendous amount of things on prayer, so I am going to say a whole lot here. And I'll tell you what I'll do. If you hear something that you want to know more about or have me repeat it or share it with you again, you get to see Judy because I'm going to give her a copy of the sermon, the outline that I have, so you can go back and those items. There are 10 lists in this message today. So if you got one of the lists that you missed or want to get more information on, see her. I'm going to give her a copy, and then that way you'll get the information for it. So we're talking about talking to God. That's what prayer is. We use the word prayer, and then we almost nonchalantly realize just how powerful and important that is. We're communicating with our God who has created us and all other things around us. And we need to understand that prayer is a very serious and a very important part of our faith journey, of our entire life. In fact, as we go through the message today, you're going to learn that prayer is to have and be involved and woven in and through everything that goes on in your life, that there's no part of life that's to be left out. And later on, I'm going to say some things that maybe get a little bit hurtful, because I'm going to point out some of the things that we do wrong, where we're weak in our prayer life and where we need to strengthen. So I want you to listen to that. But real quickly, let me tell you this. There are many different kinds of prayer. There are prayers of adoration and praise. There are prayers of confession and contrition. There are prayers of supplication and petition. There are prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude. There are prayers of lament and despair. There are prayers of intercession for others. There are prayers of contemplative and meditative process. That's being silent and attentive and being open to what God has to say to us. All those are different types of prayers. And at different points and times in your journey of faith, you're going to be praying through all of those. Now, I'll give her the notes so you can get all the different kinds on your own later on. They're there. But I want you to understand that the Bible says a tremendous amount about prayer. It tells us a great deal. And as we learn to communicate, to talk with God, I want you to know that prayer is the believer's primary line of communication. We as believers are called. David, King David, actually described prayer as crying out to God. And you can interpret that two ways. Crying weeping as you go humbly before God, but crying like the town crier, you know, wanting to get God's attention. When we pray, we're crying out to God. But it's also, at the same time, something very unique. It's a love letter. We describe the Bible as being love letter from God to us. Well, your prayers are love letters back to God. The scriptures describe prayer from the saints, from believers, as being sweet perfume to the nostrils of God. I want you to think about that for a minute. Who hasn't at some time or another walked by a lady or even a gentleman with cologne or perfume on and thought, that's nice? Well, I want you to know that when you're sincere in your prayers and you're talking with God, that's the way He feels. That sweet perfume, that fragrance of your loving words shared with Him are the way we need to understand that. Prayer has a purpose. It is our way of connecting with God. Not that we aren't connected. We always are. But sometimes we don't pay attention. And God wants our attention. And so when we turn to Him, we seek guidance. When we want to be in alignment with His will, when we want to express our gratitude and thanksgiving, and there is a difference between those two, which I'll mention in a little bit, when we finally decide to confess with the Lord what's going on in our life and where we need His help and where we're grateful for where He gave it, all of those things are there. That's what prayer's about. It's non-negotiable, if you don't mind me saying that. Prayer is commanded by God. In Ephesians chapter 6, in Philippians chapter 4, in Colossians chapter 4, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Every single one of those chapters have scriptures that talk about how we are called by God to be in conversation with Him. God desires our prayers. God expects our prayers. God delights in our prayers. And we need to learn that, and with that same kind of delight and enthusiasm, go before our almighty and loving God and talk with Him. Now, it's not by accident in Ephesians, if you ever get a chance to do it, chapter 6. Read that whole chapter. You're going to know that that's the one that talks about the whole armor of God, okay? It's no accident it talks about the armor of God, because we're doing battle every day as we walk through life, trying to be faithful to the Lord, yet at the same time being bombarded by evil. It describes it in Scripture as fiery darts being hurled at us. And we have the armor of God to protect us and to help us fend that off, to see the wiles of the devil and to withstand every dirty trick that he tries to pull on us. Prayer helps us cope and do battle, quite literally, with evil and wickedness. This verse is an important verse. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the adversary. That's the enemy. We need the armor of God. We need to know that prayer is one of our first lines of defense. And so we can't just approach it haphazardly. We can't just take it nonchalantly. Our conversations, our talks with God are powerful, are strengthening, they're important. And we need to learn to pray. It tells us that we should pray in all times in that same chapter of Ephesians 6. It says, pray at all times in the Spirit. So you don't just go cold turkey before God. You can, because God's never going to turn you down. He's always ready to hear you. But it says, pray in the Spirit. Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit. He did that for a reason. And He wants us to take what that Holy Spirit offers, all of its gifts and all of its fruits, all of its blessings, as we go before the Lord and put that into work so that we can use it. We are told in the scriptures to devote ourselves to prayer. Colossians chapter 4. When we devote ourselves to something, we show our loyalty to it. We show our trust in it. We show our dependence on it. And that's what that word devotion means. So when we devote ourselves to prayer, we're showing our loyalty to God, our trust in God, our dependence on God. And it says we're to pray without ceasing, and we're to pray again in the Spirit. That's in Scripture multiple times. God speaks to us through our heart. Now I want you to hear that. Our heart, you heard it in the children's story talking about heart. That's the seat of our emotions. And God, where our spirit's located, God knows that, and He speaks to us through our hearts. And it's intensely personal. It's intensely passionate. And I don't think we take that serious enough when we go before the Lord, when we have our talks, when we have our conversations with God. It's a fellowship with God that means we're wanting Him to participate in our life. That's what fellowship means. To have common ground, so much so that it overlaps. To share our lives with God. That's what prayer is telling God we want to do. We are His children. And He wants us to be involved in such a way that He can send to us the aid we need to struggle against those dark and evil forces that I mentioned before. The strength, the power, the authority. James chapter 5 verse 16 tells us that all of that comes through our prayer and our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we are encouraged in our prayers. And there's absolutely nothing that you should not share in prayer. It's wide open for everything. I want you to understand that. There's nothing to be withheld. There is nothing to be excluded. There is nothing that's off limits to God. You should be able to share everything with Him. Now, I'm going fast. I know I am. I've got a lot to say and little time to say it. So I want you to hear me and understand this. We need to be thankful. Prayers are to be persistent, simple, sincere, thankful. And here's something most people don't pay any attention to. If you don't get anything else today, please hold on to this. Most of your prayers, most of your conversations, most of your talks with God should have worship in it. Now, you may not think about prayers being a part of a worship experience, but it is. The most of our prayers should be in praise and in glorification and in honor and acknowledgement of how almighty and wonderful God is. Express your thankfulness to Him. Our bodies are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, if you heard it in your Lenten message this morning, drove the money changers out and told them point blank, "My house is to be a house of prayer." Well, if you're the temple and God resides in it and His house is to be a house of prayer, then you, the temple, should be a house of prayer. And you should be praying with God and the Holy Spirit in that house. That's the logic that we should draw from that. Jesus, now get this, invites us to pray in His name. How many of you do that? I do. In the name of Jesus. I always love it when the pastors that I worship in church with will say, "In the mighty name of Jesus," because it is a mighty name. There's nothing that can overcome Jesus. And we're to ask all of our prayers in His name. Jesus promises two things if we pray in His name. And most people don't get it. First thing is, He's going to bless you. He's going to show you His favor, His love, if you speak His name to the Father. The second thing is, he says, not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to step up before the Father and speak in your behalf. That's like walking into a courtroom and having a lawyer there, big, fancy, best there is in the whole state, saying, I'm your lawyer today. I'm here to represent you. Jesus is going to stand before the Father and represent us. And he promised that when we pray in his name. That's one of the things that we get. You can call it a perk if you want to, or a benefit. Prayer should have certain things in it all the time. Now, I'm going to go fast, but I want you to hear this. Prayer should always glorify the Father. Prayer should always serve his purpose and his will. Prayer should always be offered in faith. That means believing. And believing means in confident trust, not willy-nilly. You know God's going to do. God can do. God will do. That's a confidence trust. That's what believing is. It's not wishful thinking when you ask in Jesus' name. We ask with an attitude of reverence and humility. We ask with respect and sincerity. We ask with devotion and a contrite heart. All of those are the circumstances, the posture, so to speak, that we should take when we're talking with God. Now, I'm giving you a lot. I can see some of you folks' hair going back already back there. Some people had a pen. I saw one minute ago go, can't keep up. Don't worry about it. I'm going to give her my notes. I promised you that. It's going to happen. When we go before God in prayer, it should always have our gratitude and our thanksgiving in it. It should always be asking for forgiveness. We are sinful creatures. My favorite saying is, I'm only human. But when you got Jesus and the Holy Spirit on your side, ain't nobody can beat that. That's a combination that wins everywhere you go. So always ask God for forgiveness. He knows your imperfections, but he wants to hear from you anyway. Ask in the name of Jesus, as I've already said twice. Prayer is all about God. It's not about you. Now, I just blew some people away. Prayer is all about God. It's about his love. It's about his mercy. It's about his grace. It's about his forgiveness. It's about his faithfulness. It's about his desire to be in relationship with you. It's about his covenant and promises made in your behalf. It's about his presence, his provision, his protection. It's about his Son. It's about his Holy Spirit. It's about his gift of salvation and eternal life that he's trying to give us all. It's not about you. Surprise, surprise, God loved you from the very start. He's always had that in the book. What he wants you to do is get your name in there so you can live with him in the garden, in the kingdom, as he intended from the beginning. We need to remember that. Now, I'm going to get blunt, and this is the part I said you're going to have some things that hurt a little bit. I'm going to say some truthful things here about what we do wrong when it comes to prayer. And I don't want to scare you away from prayer time. I don't want to discourage you from prayer time. I want to encourage you by pointing out where you need to strengthen your relationship with God. I want you to be aware. I want you to think. I want you to correct the errors. When we go to talk with God, when we have our times of communication with him, we don't pray often enough. Scripture says, pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. But we don't do it. Look, I'm a preacher. I've been preaching for 50-some years. I don't pray enough. I know you don't either. We need to add time to our prayers. We don't pray believing. Defined faith for you a little while ago. It's a confident trust in God. That's what we should be praying in, is that confidence that God, first off, hears us. And secondly, he cares. And third, he'll answer it if you believe. We're too reckless. We're too inattentive. We're too careless, too rash in our prayer lives. We don't even take the time to look for God's answers. We pray, say amen, and go on about our business. And that's not the way it should be. We need to look for what God is doing and saying and wanting us to hear. We need to hear His side of the prayer. You see, if it's a conversation, there's two parts, two people speaking. Yeah, we know you're there. I know I'm there. But am I listening to what God has to say? Do I hear what He wants me to know? And here's, we don't treasure our time in conversation and prayer with God. We need to treasure it. We need to value it. We need to see how precious it is. Brothers and sisters, the Almighty God, there is nothing, nobody, anything any more powerful or greater than He is. And He wants to talk to you. That ought to blow you away right there. We make prayer often enough a last resort. We finally, when all else has failed, we turn to God in prayer. I've even heard people say that atheists, people who don't believe in God, when things start going south, that's when they hit their knees. I always think that's funny. Somebody who don't believe in God suddenly becomes a believer. It's too late. We need to realize the value and the importance of our conversations, our talks with God. Our own attitudes about prayer actually get in the way and inhibit our prayer life. We want it Johnny on the spot. I want it yesterday. We're so impatient. We treat prayer as if it's a vending machine. We put a quarter of worry in. We put a quarter of want in. We put a quarter of need in. And then we expect a blessing to ka-plump right out of the bottom of the vending machine. That's not the way it works. God wants to spend a little bit more than you dropping quarters in the machine. He wants to hear more than that. Our prayers are not to be short, fast, and matter of fact to the point, and then move on without even listening for answers. We, 9 times out of 10, ask our prayers the things we want wrong. We're motivated wrong. We're too selfish. I told you some of this was going to get personal. God wants to bless us. He wants us to be connected to Him. But our selfish desires get in the way. You know what the hardest prayer to pray is? Thy will be done. That's the hardest prayer. And you know what? That should be in every one you pray. Lord, not my way, but your way. We need to learn to do that. We go in prayer and ask for God's help, and then we don't even do our part. He wants a little bit of obedience from us. And we struggle to be obedient, yet we're asking for wonderful big miracles from Him. We go to God and ask for help. We ask Him to do things that are completely against His will, and we know it when we're asking. And there are certain parts of our lives that I said earlier, none of it's off limits. We kind of keep it. You know, it's the skeletons in the closet. God wants to know and be involved in all of those things. You see, when you block God out of a certain part of your life, that's doubt. It shows a weakness in your faith. When you don't want Him to know what's going on, that's sin, that's Satan. Putting blinders on your eyes and thinking you can hide things from God's eyes. He sees everything. When we're ashamed and can't bring up a topic, that's conviction. He's saying this is what we need to talk about. In today's text, Jesus was teaching and telling the disciples how to pray. He was talking to us. And he said, don't be a hypocrite or a heathen like they do. Don't go posing as somebody who's righteous. We are not righteous. Scripture says, brothers and sisters, that we're no better than filthy rags when we go before God. A while ago I said our prayers of the righteous go up like perfume to the nostrils of God. If we're filthy rags, imagine the stench that must be filling his nose when we pretend to be something we're not, holy. Our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. If it weren't for his shed blood, because that's what our robes of righteousness are made out of, the blood of Jesus Christ, we would have no righteousness at all. We would never have permission to stand before a holy God. We're still unholy, but Jesus' blood covers it. That's what prayer does. In today's text, we're told that we should be sincere, and that sincerity overcomes wickedness. That prayer is private. It's between you and God. Now, you may not go into a closet. I love that. Have y'all seen that movie? That black lady, she has her prayer closet. I love the scene where she's not in her closet. She's out in her kitchen. Man, she ill talking to the Lord. Talk about full of the Spirit and on fire. I want you to know that that's the kind of prayer life we should have with God. There is nothing or nobody that we should be embarrassed to be talking to our God about just as eagerly and excited as she was. Think about who you are talking to. And think about what you need to say. Jesus said, God already knows everything. What he wants is to hear from you. What he wants is for you to come to him. What he wants is for you to approach him and acknowledge that he's the most important part of your life. He wants us to see him and to give ourselves to him of our own volition. Now that's a word you don't hear much anymore. So I'm going to define it for you. We need to take our prayers and everything we do for God on our own volition. What it means is it needs to be a choice, a decision we make of our own free will. That's what volition is. You choose. Nobody made you. The devil didn't trick you. Nobody's forcing it. You're doing it because you know you need to be talking to God. You need to be talking to Jesus Christ. That's what you want. And when we go before him, we confess our frailties, our weakness. And then Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Pray with me. I mean that. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses or debts. It doesn't matter. A trespass is when you go somewhere you ain't supposed to. And a debt is when you owe somebody. And it's not a good thing or shape to be in. Forgive us of our trespasses and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now this line, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That last line, except for the amen, is called a doxology or a liturgical doxology. And it was added after Jesus taught this by the disciples. About 25 or 30 years after Jesus had already risen from the dead. They added that on there because it does something special. It talks about how divine and great God is. It talks about the unlimited power he has. It talks about the eternity that he's offering for all of us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, reiterating that. Several things happen in the Lord's Prayer. We know who we're talking to. There should be no doubt. We give praise and adoration because he deserves it. He's due it and nobody else is. We align ourselves with his will because that's where we need to be. We ask God for our daily provision and for forgiveness while we're there because Lord knows we need it. We request guidance and protection. Help us put on the whole armor, Lord. We're going to need it. We're going up there against Satan again. We go to God and we ask him to do all these things, and it's almost as if it's off the cuff. And it shouldn't be. I want to tell you that the word amen at the end of a prayer, we need to learn how to use it. It doesn't mean the end. Amen. It don't mean the end. It don't mean full stop, drop the mic. Some people think that's the way it is. It doesn't mean yes. I agree, preacher. Good point. It doesn't mean that you're saying even thank you, Lord. It's not an expression of gratitude. Well, you say, well, preacher, what in the world does it mean? You done wiped out about everything I thought. Amen means let it be done. Let it be so. Let it happen. Let it become reality. And it's an emphatic expression or declaration, really, that we are supporting and aligning and obeying the will of God. When you say amen, that's what you're saying. Lord, I support that you do your way, your will. I want to be in line with that. And if I'm in the way, then truck over top me. I want you to know that I'll be obedient as your child. Let it happen, Lord. Let it be so. You see, back in Egypt, when there were pharaohs, they thought they were gods. Craziest thing I ever had to teach in history when I taught school. And they would say when they, you see, every word came out of a Pharaoh's mouth became law. And there would be scribes, educated people, had to be dumber than stumps to do this. But educated people would be by the Pharaoh, and when he'd say something, they'd go, so let it be written. And somebody over there, a scribe, would be writing it down. And then another group of scribes would say, and so let it be done. Let it be law. Well, that is where amen actually comes from. That's what it really means. Let it be written. Let it be done. Let it be law. And when we finish our prayer, what you said, it better line up with what God wants. Because it's going to be written. God's going to have his way. His will be done, whether you're ready for it or not. And then there are two verses that were tacked on in scripture text. I'm still there. I haven't lost you yet. I'm trying not to. I'm getting close to the end. There are two verses, the 14th and the 15th verses. Jesus comes back to the topic of forgiveness. Now, any time the Bible repeats or says three times anything, you best pay attention to it. Jesus says for a second time, remember forgiveness. Ask for it of the Lord. And understand that your forgiveness hinges on how much forgiveness you give. If you don't forgive others, then the Father won't forgive you. We need to take that lesson to heart. Now hear me. I told you what prayer was. Now I want you to hear what prayer should never be. Prayer should never conflict with the word or the will or the character of God. Prayer should never be a list of demands. Prayer should never be a wheeling, dealing, bargaining with God. Prayer should never be prideful and bragging. Prayer should not be reduced to ritual, routine, and repetition. That's one thing that I don't like about saying the Lord's Prayer over and over again every single Sunday, because that's what it becomes. People don't take it to heart anymore. They don't listen to it. They don't feel the words. They don't treasure the time with God. And prayer loses something when you don't do that. Prayer should never be to impress other people. Prayer should never be built on a lie. And we know when we're telling the truth and when we're not. We should never in a prayer call for the harm or the suffering or a curse or damning of anybody else. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't you play God. Don't ask for those things in your prayer. God knows what needs to be done and how to do it, and He will, without you coaxing Him with anything. Prayer is not canned. Prayer is not one size fits all. Prayer is not aimless wandering or daydreaming. It is not unfocused or vague. Remember what I said? You know who you're talking to. Now decide what you need to say. See, Satan sold us a bill of goods. He wants us to think that procrastination is okay. He wants us to think that we need to prepare ourselves real well before we go to God in prayer. We're not ready yet. He wants us to think that we need to get the right posture or the right attitude. You know, we got to put our hands together and bow our heads and close our eyes, or God's not going to hear our prayer. Poppycock. I pray going down the highway with my hands on the steering wheel and I ain't closing my eyes. You better hope I don't. Because I'll probably be passing you. You need to get your thoughts, devil wants you to think, that you need to get your thoughts organized and under control. He wants you, you can't go to God when you're an emotional wreck. The devil wants you to believe that. You a train wreck already? I told you God knows everything. But He still wants to hear you. He wants you to come before Him. You need to have a better reason or a list of circumstances in your life. Because if you go to prayer like you are right now, you're just bothering God. The devil's trying to sell that to you. Don't buy it. Our prayers are adequate. The devil says they're not. God wants to hear from you anytime you're willing to talk. I want you to understand the Almighty's waiting on you. You hear me? He's waiting for you to start the conversation. You want to know what makes for an effectual and powerful prayer? Invite the Holy Spirit to say what you can't. It knows how to separate the marrow from the bone. So it can find the words to let the Lord know what you need to say. Teach yourself to speak God's language. Whoa, you mean God's got a language? Yeah. God speaks in love. God speaks in truth. God speaks in sincerity. So should you. That's God's language. Be excited when you pray. I mean, have some real passion in your prayers. I talked about that lady in her kitchen in that movie. By golly, that's the way we ought to be. You have the audience of the Almighty God. Take advantage of it. You have the promises of not only Almighty God, but Jesus Christ waiting for you right there. And all you need to do is start looking for the answers. Because once you talk to Him, they are coming. God answers every prayer. Does He always give us what we want? No. But He sends an answer just the same. Sometimes the answer is no. We just have to listen for it. Make sure that you set your time and space aside to spend with God. Pray scripture. It's His word. You can't go wrong on that. You won't be redundant or repetitive. And you're already in His will. So pray those scriptures. And as I said before, start and end with praise and worship. Did you hear your praise team up here singing earlier? There's nothing better to add into your prayer than some of those choruses. You sing them every Sunday. Put them to use. Is that the only time you're going to hear them? Is Sunday morning? Come on, people. God's in a permanent and ongoing relationship with us, not 1 hour on Sunday morning. We need to keep track of our conversations with God. I think you should keep records and a score. Write down every time He answers one. You want to be blessed? You do that. Start keeping a chart of how every time you ask, write down what you asked for. Then write down when it was the answer was given and how. I guarantee you from one Sunday to the next, you'll have more things to praise and bless God about than anything else you've got to talk about. All right, I've gone on long enough. And I still got more. It's in the book, people. Let's get serious about our conversation with God. And if you don't do nothing else when you're talking to Him, learn these three words. I love you. I love you, Lord. And you can add a lot in front of it. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It makes for a wonderful time in prayer. And I apologize for going on, but it was on my heart. And I felt like we need to hear it. An old world here needs to listen. God bless you.